And good morning and welcome to Coffee Time. It's Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning. It is another month's gone by, November 2nd, 2024. And we welcome you folks out there. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And Paul, why don't you kick us off with one of them prayers this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spread the gospel, the good news, Lord. It may seem like not the good news at the moment, but it is, because God sits in the heavens and laughs, and the people are blinded by greed. They can't even think, and they can't think beyond their nose about the future. It's all about selfishness, Lord. And with that, Lord, help us be more like you. We can retain nothing for ourselves and give it all. And we pray that the kingdom will come and come soon, Lord, and that we pray that our enemy will turn on themselves and destroy themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Well, there's a lot of stuff that's going on here in the world, but I wanted to start off with something that I experienced this last week, and it was it was probably the highlight of my week. There was an old cowboy that lives down the road from me that I've known for, many, many years. I don't know, going back 20 plus years. And me and his son are very good friends. Anyway, this man, he lost his wife. She was a baptized believer, lost his son. He was a baptized believer, but he was born in a Methodist church and never born and raised Methodist, and was sprinkled with his mother at an early child, and always just, maintained that he was a Christian. Back in years when Pastor Peters was alive, he tried talking to him about baptism, and he just, he didn't want to hear it. He's a hard-headed, red-headed English Scottish cowboy that he was in the horse world, you'd call him a knothead. He was pretty stubborn and set in his ways. And he was 81 years old, and we were talking, and his son and daughter-in-law were talking to me, and they brought it up to me, and they said, sure, Dad's 81 now and sure would like to get him baptized. And I said, well, you've been praying about it. And they said they'd been praying about it, and we've been praying about it. And I picked up the phone and called him up and started talking to him, and we had a good talk. We ended up sitting down and having a good Bible study, and the light went off. He's like, I didn't realize that it was that big of a difference. He's like, this is serious. And he said, we got to get it done. And we baptized him at the LaPorte Church of Christ the next day at 81 years old. So that was definitely a blessing, and it was very exciting for him, and he's called me almost every day and thanked me for that. So praise the Lord for that. The Lord works, and I'm really thankful that it was one of those miracles, because you could talk to this person about it, and they were set in their ways. And one of the things that was brought up is he kept bringing up, he said, well, what about my mother? And I just had to tell him, I said, I don't know, but I do know, that if you go into this watery grave of baptism and that you're raised up in it, that you will see those that you have lost in Christ. And I read him the resurrection scriptures that we have about those that we lose in Christ. And, it was, he picked up the phone after that the next day, and he called some of his cowboy friends of his that they'd gone to church, and one of them had went to a Church of Christ for 10 years, and he had never heard that he needed to be submerged in water to have a true baptism, and they had never explained that to him. He was also a gentleman from North Dakota that had been brought up, and I don't know if it was a Methodist or a Presbyterian church or what denomination it was, but he was, when Gary was explaining some of this stuff to him, he said, well, I've never heard that. And he'd been going to a Church of Christ, and to go to a Church of Christ for 10 years and not hear you know, a true biblical plan of salvation and how to get baptized was shocking to me. But it just shows you where, you know, where a lot of the churches are at, even at the Church of Christ and stuff.
Yeah, they're the only ones that do baptize, but they don't preach it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, you know, it was exciting, and it was a miracle, and I give the Heavenly Father thanks for it, because it was a big deal to a lot of the family members, and just it was humbling at the same time. So it's exciting to see that the Lord is working, the Holy Spirit's working, you know, in the midst of everything that we see going on in the world. I know basically about everything you turn on is all you're going to see is, you know, campaign ads. And boy, I tell you what, I'm getting tired of seeing those.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll sure be good to get this election over with and just kind of get people back on, you know, back on track, because that does seem to be what's on everybody's mind right now. And these things come and go. You know, our life here for Christ and what you introduced Mr. Gary to, you know, our life forever in Christ, that really is, that's what stands, you know, that's the eternal. The elections, they come and go. The seasons come and go. We're in fall pretty good here. Nice balmy 25 degrees here in Laramie this morning. They come and go. They change. But God and His Word doesn't change. And that, boy, that is disheartening hearing that, you know, these people at the Church of Christ aren't hearing about baptism. But that's, you know, the field is ripe. Ready for the laborers, that's for sure. And I think it gives us plenty of opportunity to do just what you did, Jason, and be ready, and be ready.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we got this, you know, this election coming up, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of praying for this election. I talked to a lot of people that have been, you know, keeping this election lifted up in prayer, and, you know, it is definitely, it's going to be, it'll be interesting. And, you know, here in Colorado, we had, you know, the Secretary of State's office, it was in the news this last week. They had the voting machine passwords that were leaked on a website that were leaked, and they were out for several months, and they knew about it, and they knew about all these passwords that there was a website that you could go to and you could click a hidden icon or a hidden tab on there, and it would give you all the passwords for the voting machines for the state of Colorado. And even after they knew about it, they didn't do anything about it until it got leaked to the media and it went viral. And that's when they all of a sudden got on the bandwagon to try to fix the problem. But, I mean, just, you know, to have a problem like that and not try to fix it until it gets leaked is, you know, just huge. And, you know, it's one of those things, is people not doing their job. It's, you know, those people... you know, I don't care how nice a person that they are, they need to be removed. You know, it's there's stuff that's happening all over. I've been seeing a lot of stuff that's happened on the with the voting in Pennsylvania. It was kind of the highlight, one of the highlights this week in the news media, where they had, you know, illegals that were supposedly bust in and translators that help them vote at the voting polls. And then I seen that the backlash, they came back and they said, well, it's still, you know, illegal in the state of Pennsylvania for illegals to vote in Pennsylvania. But they said, we let them vote because we wanted to include them, but we're not counting their votes because they're not registered voters. And you just, I mean, talk about a bunch of hogwash.
Wherever you look, There's a lot of people that are really concerned about this election. They know this is something big. And the corruption just keep coming out. I see where it was leaked, where Harris won the swing states. It was already, and they haven't even voted yet. But it was leaked out somehow. I mean, it's just corruption after corruption after corruption.
It is. I saw a story of a Chinese nationalist, a student. He's a college student. But he's a Chinese nationalist. He's not a U.S. citizen. He's here just on a student visa, which means he cannot vote. And he went and voted. They let him vote knowing it, just like you said, Jason. It's not, what you brought up is not not the only case out there. So they let this Chinese national American University student vote. And they say, yeah, we know it's illegal, but we're going to do it anyway. And count his vote. I mean, it's absolute lawlessness. There again, there's an opportunity to share with people what's going on and write out of the word where it is going on. The lawlessness that's there, that the people that they just embrace it. And that's, our republic is based on laws, based on the word of God, the law of God. And the more that we bring in these third world people and dilute the people that are here and allow the lawlessness to continue. But the people, the good news, again, the people are seeing it. Like you said, Paul, it's opening their eyes. They're seeing it more and more, and they know that hey, this is big. This is an important election, and I think more people are out and have voted and are planning on voting. I guess we got two more days, Monday, Tuesday, and that's it. But it's people are seeing things are different. Things are different, and I think what the enemy's done in the past. They're just being exposed more and more.
Well, when the law leaves the church, the law leaves the world. We are the salt of the earth, and when the church has become lawless, with Judeo-Christianity, Roman Catholicism is all lawlessness. They actually promote sin. And when that is gone and the whole thing is a mess, and this is where we're at today.
Yes. Well, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, I've heard a lot of people saying that it's, the lesser of two evils, it's this, it's that, it's, I don't know. You can, justify it however you want to in your mind, but, Trump is obviously a better president, and it did a better job than Harris would. And, we are not to have a woman rule over us. I mean, it's written in the scripture.
Amen. Amen. And, all the kings of Israel, you go back through and you read through Kings one would come up and reign for 20 years and he, or 40 years, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then maybe his son would come up and his son would do, it would start out and say, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But none of the kings ever were perfect. None of the kings of Israel of old were, they never got all the evil out of the land. They never did. They would get some. Oh, they would maybe shut down the prostitutes in the temple, or they might shut down the Ashtoreth groves or the Baal worship, or the sacrificing the children to Moloch. But they never could get it all done.
We're going to go to the phone lines.
Sure, go ahead.
Oh. Sorry, Warren. I think I pushed the wrong button. Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, it's Warren calling. I got a prayer request in for our nation. They got laws out there now, you know, that if you wear any logo hats or shirts or whatever, you know, like a Trump hat or a Harris hat or whatever, they won't allow you to vote. And, you know, the immigrants can vote no matter what. So I want to call in about that and pray also that, well, like I got the, you know, the T-shirts, God Save America Again from you, and some of your other T-shirts, you know, they got Christian stuff on them. They're making it so you can't wear that, too, in a lot of places. And they want to pray against, well, you're talking about the churches and stuff, like the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church. You know, they all got the Apostles' Creed in it. I want to pray to let the Lord Jesus wake up our nation that there is no such a thing as Apostles' Creed. You know, because in Apostles' Creed, you pledge your faith to the Holy Catholic Church or the Holy Methodist Church, and you're pledging your faith to some organization, not to Christ. So I want to pray against that, too.
Well, let's do it. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we realize that we're living in exciting times and interesting times. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, I ask, Father, that you be with us and that you be with this nation. And I pray, Father, that whatever happens in this election, that this nation turns back to you first and foremost. Father, we desire for you to be king, and we desire for you to reign over this land. And Lord, we do lift it up. And as we know that they are trying to steal, kill, and destroy, Father. That's what the enemy does, and they're trying to steal this election in any way they can. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that they let them be caught in their plots, let them be exposed for what they're trying to do. And we pray, Father, that you expose the enemy for who they are and what they are. Lord, we cry out to you, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and just ask, Father, to be forgiven of our sins. We pray, Father, as we come back to you and turn to you in your ways, we pray, Father, that you heal this land. Lord, we thank you for this, we thank you for these things, and we do just continue to praise you for all that you do for us each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, thanks, Warren, for the call. And phone number is 970-224-4203. Yeah, there's so many different things. I seen a video this weekend, and it was, pretty accurate, but there was a person that had taken a video, and they were trying to vote for the Republican Party, and they kept pushing the button, and this was in Kentucky, and it wouldn't accept it. After pushing the button, I don't know, 6 or 7 times, all of a sudden that it popped up on the screen and highlighted the Democratic Party block and showed voting for Harris and Walz. And it was just, basically there's just about everywhere that you look, you're seeing this. And it's interesting, the states that they're picking and that they're targeting. And it is these, from what I've seen, is mostly in these swing states. So I don't know. It's definitely to be, a time to definitely be in prayer and encourage people just to, be in prayer and be prepared, because I've thought for quite some time that even after this election, no matter who wins, that the enemy could use that and take advantage of a situation and try to turn it into a bad thing. They do that all the time. And, it's supply chains could be cut. We've seen a lot of things that have happened just over this last year. And I think it's by God's grace and mercy that supply chains have not been shut down as much as they have, from bridges being wrecked all across the country to natural disasters. It's definitely interesting, and I think that things could get very interesting. And it's just as simple as having some extra supplies on hand, not dependent on going to the grocery store once or twice a week. you never know, but I would definitely be praying about it, and whatever the Holy Spirit, you know, ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you. You know, if there's preparations that you need to make, then, you know, pay attention, listen, do it. I've thought that for a long time, that things could get interesting after this. And interesting, I don't know in what way, but I know it's a good thing to have some extra supplies on hand. And it looks like Tim decided to join us finally. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Excuse my tardiness. Had a few technical difficulties here this morning, but I'm glad to be here. So
I'm just giving you a hard time. Thanks for being here, Tim. What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, really, I just was kind of, it sounds, just what little bit I've heard so far, it sounds like similar things. I was thinking about the fact that we want to make sure we don't put our fear first, but that we put our faith first. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to do anything. God is a God of action, so we need to not only pray our protection upon our families, but we also need to act like we're putting whatever we can on our families. So not that we think our arm of flesh will save us, but that we do our duty so that God will do his for us. You know, I mean, it's a promise and a way of doing things. So, and I suppose that word is, at the end of the day, it's summed up with stewardship. So it sounds to me like maybe we were on the same path. but and I also did see where they're, I don't know if it's already been talked about, but they were boarding up DC. Have you heard about the fact that they're boarding up stores and buildings and stuff all over in DC?
I have not. I knew that they did before that Democratic convention came into town, a couple of different places, but I didn't know that they were doing that now. Which, yeah, doesn't surprise me. It's probably a good idea.
really? Well, and somebody said, well, what do you think is going to happen, you know, depending on who wins what? I said, I think the same thing's going to happen no matter who wins what. I mean, it's just going to be whatever's going on there. So, I mean, I don't think that there's going to be some you know, unrest no matter what happens. So, but anyways, don't you? I mean, really?
Yeah.
So I think that I think we're at a time where our faith needs to be in our God, and that we need to realize that He has the sheltering wings that protect us from everything, and we got to claim it, live it, and act like we're moving on it. So. I think the other thing that interested me the other day was, I think it's amazing. I've been looking at these SCOTUS rulings on, just a lot of things. As far as, in particular, the one I noticed actually was a lot of the gun control situations and laws. And, you know, my personal opinion is, since when do they do anything that helps us out? But, you know, God does. And God uses whoever or whatever to do it. And I think that that's what we're seeing there. I think we're seeing a lot of that, go on. I think God is making moves that protect His people and that allow us to do things that, you know, are helpful. And what a blessing. So,
yeah.
I
had an interesting article, and I think it was pretty interesting, was sent to me this morning. It says, this is from a private research, an article written by Dan Denning. And it says, did you see that the Labor Department revised downward the jobs data from August and September by a combined 122,000 jobs? 8 out of the last 11 jobs reports have been revised lower after they were published. After the market reached the initial good news, and before it could find out that the news wasn't good as it was first reported. It's a Friday. The entire nation has election fever. Nobody will notice the revised jobs data, or at least it's probably not big enough to move the market. But it's worth nothing. A couple of things about the October data. First, total job growth before any revisions that might come later was just 12,000 for the month. It had been averaging 194,000 per month for the last 12 months before revisions. Second, the big driver of job growth was the 40,000 increase in government jobs, 18,000 of which were in state government. The healthcare industry led the way with 52,000 new jobs. Just what America needs now, more government employees. It's also worth pointing out that according to the Labor Department's own figures, 5.7 million Americans are not counted as unemployed in the official figures. Why? Because they've stopped looking for jobs altogether. The official unemployment rate is 4.1%. But if you include these 5.7 million people who've dropped out of the calculations, it's actually 7.7%. It was 7.2% 12 months ago. And it goes on, so on and so forth. And it just basically the same thing. It's like, you know, I mean, how can you go back and take back the labor reports and adjust all of the last 12 reports and change it? I mean, it just goes to show you, I mean, it's just a number that they can punch into a computer and they can change it whenever they want.
And it's just lies. They put it out to just to manipulate the market, to appease the people. Oh, we've been hearing that for the last 3 years. The economy's great. There's job growth. There's this, there's that. inflation's still there. Grocery prices are still out the roof. Gas prices are still double what they were just 3.5 years ago. You know, you don't have to go back to the 80s and say, well, I remember gas at 89 cents a gallon. I mean, I remember that. But that's not, you know, that's not what we talk about. But, you know, $1.35 a gallon just, in 2019, the beginning of 2020, is where it was. And grocery prices have increased 70%. You know, wages haven't increased 70%. Interest rates are up. I mean, it's just across the board. And I I think it's a great point that you bring up, Jason, that it just highlights the lies that this government that they put out, they do whatever they want to do. They say what they want, it's not really that. We'll revise it later. We'll just put this out now. It's like, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
Well, I think it's interesting that, we have to be careful with so many of those things because of the fact of manipulation. And I'm always reminded, Dad used to say that, you can control, if you run a survey, you can control the outcome of the survey just by the questions you ask. You know, you're allowed to answer yes or no questions. An example is, do you still beat your wife? Yes or no? And, no matter how you answer that, that's one of those catch-22 questions because it's, the headline reads something like, out of 100 men surveyed, all 100 have at some point beat their wife. And it's like, you can't answer that question without somehow getting the stink of that question on you unless you don't answer that question. That's the only way you can accomplish that because you were either currently doing it or you've done it in the past according to that question. And I'm not in favor of wife beating or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just an example. But it's the same way with some of these statistics, as far as what demographic pool are they using, all they have to do is change a few of their denominators or of their stuff in statistical analysis, and you can come up with a total BS story as far as to what the statistics say or do, I don't remember the numbers at the particular moment, but I was just talking to somebody the other day about automobiles, and they were saying that 20% of all auto loans are underwater. And I said, that's really strange because I just read a report a few days earlier that said, and I don't, like I said, I don't remember that particular number, but the average number of repossessions of automobiles that were under finance we're like 3 out of 10, which would be about 30%, but it's gone up to like 5.8 or something like that. So if 60% of, and he said, well, I don't understand how those two things, being underwater, matters when you're underwater versus repossession. And I said, well, if you don't pay your note, what's the next thing they come and do? You know, they come and get your car, right? Or your whatever it is, they repossess it. So if repossessions are at 60%, how could 20% be underwater? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things there that don't quite equal each other or add up. And it just depends on, you know, good news or bad news. What do we want to give them, or how is this going to benefit us? And we see those kind of things go on. And they play these games all the time with just like this labor report. You know, they want to keep the market up because they love the money that they could make off the market on an upside market, or they need to do that. And, you know, they short the market when they're ready to make a whole bunch of money. I mean, how do you think all those people in government make, you know, they go in worth $250,000 and they come out worth $250 million? You know, I mean, it's just one of those things that it happens. There's so much, I don't know what even the right word is, wrong with the whole thing.
Yeah, insanity comes to mind as a word. You know, Jason, I was thinking that report you were reading, you know, they talk about, oh, the jobless rate is down at, you know, 4% lower than it's ever been. Yeah, because you've got so many people that are still jobless. They haven't found a job. They've been looking. Oh, they're not going to work at McDonald's, but they're looking for a job and they haven't found one. Well, if it's been over 4 weeks, they just don't count them anymore. Let's move to the new batch. You know, it's like this inflation rate. Oh, it's not growing as fast as it was. Yeah, but it's like if you gain weight, you know, if 5 years ago you gained 10 pounds and the next year you gained 9 pounds and the next year you gained 8 pounds. Oh, well, your weight gain is lower than it was, but you're still gaining weight and it's added to it every year. It's not like you go back to zero and just go up a little bit. It just gets added on. And yeah, they can spin it however they want, but you know, prices are still up. The economy is not growing. I did see an article on that, talked about it Thursday night a little bit, that, you know, the job growth wasn't near what was expected. And that has a big adverse effect on futures and everything else. And, but that you're seeing, you know, non-political economists that are saying, this economy is really in the tank. It's really in bad shape. But it was mentioned earlier, you know, oh, everybody's got election fever, so they're not paying attention to that. It's just so interesting times it is. And again, a time to be ready, to be able to point back to the scriptures and to keep our faith. Definitely, as you said, Jason, be prepared. You know, heading into winter, we should be prepared for winter coming in. And so, you know, we should be, we should make sure we see as Christians, as followers of the word, that we can tell the signs of the times, that we don't ignore the signs of the times, and don't make assumptions. You know, things are happening weather-wise that, shifting gears here just a little bit, that, you know, this just the last couple months weather-wise have been pretty, you know, devastating for Western North Carolina. I mean, you know, they've never had something like that. And have you seen what's been going on in Spain? They had massive flash flooding this past week. As of Thursday, the death toll was 95. I think it's been revised to over double that now. And there's still cars just piled up. And they're still just digging bodies out. I mean, Spain had a huge flash flood, and some of the videos coming out are, I mean, they look like they're out of a horror action movie. These cars just being just wash down the road with people in them, people on the roofs and hanging out windows, and it's just devastating. So the weather is just out of whack as well, along with everything else. So, you know, be a good Boy Scout. Be prepared.
I'd stay away from the Boy Scouts. Well, they started letting queers in there. I think they're even shut down now.
Yeah. But we definitely have, you know, and God has a job for all of us. I mean, and it may not be, and everybody has a part where they fit in, because that's the way God is. He likens it to a body, many parts of the body, and all are worthy of honor. So we definitely need to be worthy of honor, and we definitely need to be doing our part, whether, you know, whatever part we are. And also we have and the other thing is mindset. Man, I've noticed a lot of people get really upset, really nervous, or hyped up over a lot of these things. And, you know, don't put your fear first, put your faith first. God's got this. It's a done deal. And if you serve God, you're part of that body. And if you are in His will and His grace and His plan, there's not that much to worry about. You know, I mean, it's like, and do I know, fear not him, you know, who can kill the body. I mean, but we see those things go on, and it's not, they can't win, they lose. That's the way it works. And their biggest gimmick is making you think that they could possibly win. And we know God laughs at them, but we're seeing that all around us, you know, that their days are numbers, their time's limited. And trust me, as hard as you feel like you need to be scrambling to be prepared or whatever, they've got it multiple times worse. I mean, it's as far as that goes. And I have no pity for them, don't get me wrong, but I think that, yeah, we're in that time frame where it's like when you feel ill at ease, when you're getting all wound up, just stop, drop, and pray. And, you know, God will make a way. That's what He does. So and I think that's the blessing of our faith. And that centering is powerful too. It's an aspect of your power. So.
Well, and I just got a text, and it said, National Guard activated in Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Arizona. That's what I know of, all for the day after the election. Well, yeah, that sums it up. They're expecting trouble, too.
Yeah. I heard that business on the board-ups on the windows and stuff, and I was like, and that was kind of a side channel type thing, but... you know, it was like, well, isn't that interesting as far as that goes? They're not talking about that in a lot of places. But, so God's got that too. You know, I mean, and, you know, at the end of the day, I was thinking about Nebuchadnezzar being used by God. And God will use whoever He wants. I mean, however that works out, God's got it. And just put your faith in God, move forward. You know, he guaranteed us. So, but I think that a lot of times we get ourselves kind of wound up for things that we shouldn't. And I see some of that going on right now. Election fever is a good word for it, I think. So.
Yeah.
I did see on those, on that flooding in Spain, and it's been pretty bad. I mean, some of those larger metro areas were exempt from that flooding, but again, some of the smaller stuff, we know that's gone, and there's, yeah, fires, earthquakes, and I guess to some degree it's always that way, but we see some of these things going on. It's just God sits on the throne. He's making it all work.
Yeah. Definitely a time to be in prayer, and you know, it just, you know, with these things, you know, I don't know. I think that we do need to be in time of prayer, because you know, you see these, you see people coming out, you see people that are trying to get closer to God. I've seen a lot of people, and there's been like a surge of people recently that have you know, wanted to get baptized, and we've sent a lot of information out on that recently. Do want to encourage people, if you do or would like any of the you know, tracks, How to Become a Christian, Acts 2:38, we've got quite a few resources on the subject. And one of the messages we recently you know, played, and I'm trying to remember the exact name of it, but it was on basically the biblical plan of salvation and on purification, and really good message. But we've got a lot of really good resources that would like to send out. If you'd like that stuff, if you're working with somebody, sharing with somebody, we'd like to send you that information. Just, you can either call the office or you can email me, Jason@sfaw.org. You can write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, and we'll send that information out free of charge. We always have, and Lord willing, we always will be able to. You know, it's the tithes and donations of the faithful that are, you know, make it possible for us to be able to get this information out. And we do got some really good resources there, so just get in contact with us if you know anybody that is, you know, on the fence about becoming a Christian. And one of the things that I've noticed, and you know, been telling people too, is, you know, you know, prayer, when you're working with somebody and you're trying to find, you know, assist somebody, and you're trying to bring somebody to Christ, how important it is to pray for them. And I think that I think that can go you know, a long ways, and it's a way of the Lord using that as, you know, an anointing oil, so to speak, to anoint it them to receive the truths that you're going to share with them. And you know, we need more of that. We pray for the salvation of America. We pray for the salvation of this land, and for it to, you know, turn back. For people to turn back to God. But a lot of times that happens on a one-on-one personal level, is you know, turning people to Christ. And I you know, there's so much false information out there. There's so much stuff that's not being taught out there. You don't got to choke people with it. I mean, it's like we've said over and over before, is you put the information out there, you put it before them, and you know, if they take a bite, then you share some more with it. But you know, don't try to give them the whole message when you know, in your first, you know, 30-minute conversation.
Yeah, and that's what you want to do, because you're so excited to see someone thirst and do that, and it's like let the Spirit lead, be patient, you know, and some people can take that, but there's a lot that need to just kind of chew it. And it's the old saying, you know, one person who's for real and committed is worth a lot who it's just a bad to. And God knows how that works. I mean, it's amazing to see people grow, and what a blessing. God, you know, God said in 1 Peter 2:9 that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I thought about that when you said that. It's like, you know, you ever come out of a really dark place, like you're, I don't know, asleep in your room, or you're working in a dark hole, and you walk out into full sunlight, you almost can't see anything for a little bit. The light's just too bright,
right.
You know, and you got to give your eyes some time to adjust, you know, so that you can see the rest of the picture. And that's kind of what we got to give those people a little time to, you know, and we're all still adjusting and seeing more of the picture every day. So.
Yeah, there's so much that we're, you know, that's going on that we're not seeing, that we're not, excuse me, I didn't get the button pushed in time, but that happens. No, and it's, you know, weather changes, well, like you were talking about the weather changes and stuff like that. It's, boy, we're definitely feeling it here. It was interesting. Spent a couple of days up in Laramie working, and boy, it was spitting snow. Some snow was coming down sideways. And it was really interesting because you'd have that snow and it was just bitter cold. And 30 minutes later, it'd warm up and it'd be about a 20 degrees warmer, and then back down. And boy, the nights were getting chilly. But the days have been absolutely just beautiful for the most part, just up and down and up and down. And it's like, well, here comes winter. It's coming.
Yes, kind of the same way here. The nights are chilly, the days are warm, sometimes they're not, but you definitely don't want to go far without your winter gear. I mean, you might need it.
No, I had a couple guys that were helping me yesterday, and they had their winter gear on, and then they had it off, and then they had to put it back on, and then they took it back off, and it was, we were laughing about it, and it's like, you know, it is that time of year, It's interesting, and it's a fun time. I like this time of year. I like it when it's cold in the mornings and warms up enough during the day where you can, you know, run around in a sweatshirt or something like that, and then it cools down at night. But I tell you what, it sure is nice to kill off some of the flies and the mosquitoes and some of the bugs too.
Yeah, especially that. I'm glad to see that we finally got some frost and got rid of a lot of the bugs, which was really nice. And there's a lot of beauty out there too. The leaves change colors. I mean, there's so many things going on, and you start doing your winter work, or you're getting ready for winter work, or whether it's firewood or putting your gardens to bed, or trying to get you know, closures on the house, or property, different things like that, get things ready. And it's a break in the monotony of some of the other stuff. So there's some interesting things going on at that, you know, coming up. You got it just keeps life interesting.
Yeah, it is. Well, what else do you see up there in your neck of the woods, Paul?
Well, extremes. You know, you were talking about bugs. I don't think I've seen a mosquito this summer. You know, we sit out on the porch and stuff, there's bugs. We haven't had any bugs, insects and stuff this year. That's a peculiar thing, too. But it seems like, the other day it was almost 80. Now this morning it's 27. So, I mean, the weather does seem to swing sporadically more than it used to. As I see it. And the political ads, I'm really tired of them. And I read something in the Ranger magazine the other night about in 1928 a president was elected, but what it was saying, every year after an election it would be a volatile year, and that's when a depression started. So yes, it's really up in the air, and I just see a lot of people really concerned about what happens with this election. But the thing of it is, the deeper in that, when the people are good, just like the Frenchman said, America was good because the people were good. Because we have the leaders that we deserve in this country, as well as amounts to. We have forgotten God. And, you know, you look at, and the comforting thing to me is, God is not going to forget Israel. Now, they're going to, you take the children of Israel, now everybody over 20 died, but he does not forget Israel, and that's who we are, and that's really comforting to me, as I see everything that's going on around. But I do see grassroots people that are very concerned, and they should be, because, you know, God's dealing with them. They don't understand it, but God's dealing with us. And he sits in the heavens and laughs. You take these greedy suckers that have stolen from us through taxes and everything else and our property and everything. God's laughing at them because they ain't going to make it. And that's comforting to me. So,
yeah.
But, you know, the people don't have no vision. You know, they have no vision for the future. They, you know, it's just, they're selling their farms, they're selling everything just to stay alive and stuff like that. But, they, you know, they're getting rid of everything that they should hold on to, just trying to survive, you know. But when you're in debt, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And, that, you know, we're probably the biggest debt nation in the world, generally speaking. So, you know, Bible says, oh man, nothing. Now, that should change the way you do business. But everybody thinks if they can make the payments, they can do it. I seen a lady who was going to buy a car, and I did the math, what her payments were, insurance. So she would have spent $30,000 on that car. Now, if she would have went and bought a $3,000 car that she just need PLPD on and drive like a white person, you know, there's different ways of doing things. But that debt is a strangler. I don't care who you are. It'll take you down. Just like you watch these big corporations going down, you know, Rite Aid and all of them. I look at YouTube every day. There's a big corporation going down. But see, when it's moving and making their small percentage on everything else, that's fine. But when it goes backwards, they can't support it. And I don't know. The big corporations are going down, too.
Yeah.
It's Babylon falling.
Yeah, they are. And that's one of the predicaments that we have around here that I've seen a lot of, too. It's like, you know, people... And it's a sad deal, and people are, it's gotten hard on some of this farm ground and ranch property and stuff. I mean, even in places where you would consider to be in a lower tax bracket, and you got to look at your exemptions and you got to figure out what you got and how you can do it. But, you know, they're taxing them off the land, and it's costing these people, you know, they want to keep a family farm, and it's costing them, thousands of dollars a month to keep something that they want to keep in the family, so that they end up selling it. But they, you know, when they sell it, they know full well that they're not going to be able to replace it. It's, you know, something, and it's like, you know, what do you do with that? You know, what do you do with the money when you sell it? I mean, it's just, it's a fiasco, but I hate it, but I see people getting taxed off the land left and right. You know, there was talking with an old farmer, rancher, guy the other day, a couple days ago, and, you know, telling me what it was for his taxes and insurance and stuff. And, you know, he's an elderly gentleman and had bought a house in town, wanted to keep the farm, and, you know, never really planned on selling it, and just getting taxed off of it. And it's just sad deal.
Well, the power to tax, yeah. The power to destroy, that was known when this country was founded. You know, we're supposed to be protected from that. But, I mean, the Boston Tea Party, that was about a fraction of a cent, all amounted to. But they said, hey, if they can take that, you can't stop them. And they knew it.
Yes, yes. You're absolutely right.
Well, Andy, and it's amazing how many people today are under the impression that it's just always been the way it is right now. You know, clear back to, and it's... it's not really amazing when you understand the brainwashing and the system, the systematic destruction of our history as a people, as went on. Because if they'd have taught that, or if that had been taught to them, they would understand that. But it's amazing how many people don't. They just have no clue. I mean, it's like there's times I hear some of that, and I'm like, Lord, how do I even, get in there and approach that? Or, you know, what breadcrumbs can I give that will help people see some of that? You know, there's this constant battle there.
Well, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good that believe. Now, I believe that. Now, even what's going on now, that's working for our good. It's hard to imagine, but that's exactly what's going on. And we got to remember, the gospel is the good news. And these people that are running things today have, but our people have no vision because they don't know history. And that's why that knowing that you're Israel and knowing the story of the Bible, that God's hand is on it. They've gone through some miraculous things, you know, that God has delivered from. When they repent, then God will step in and change this thing. But the American people need to go lower and lower until they cry out to God, and that's what it's amounted to. And I think they are. I've seen on YouTube where they had a revival in Washington, D.C. It wasn't data or anything or what it was, but it said it was a revival. And if that's true, that's a good sign. That's a really good sign. So,
well, we're just about out of time.
All right.
I've had several people contact me that said Monday at 6 p.m. local time, pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. Go back to that's what we need to do. I've had people from Missouri, Kansas call me, contact me, and say, hey, have you seen this? And Monday, 6 p.m. local, your time, pray. And that's just grassroots. That's just people. That's not churches. That's just people saying we need to pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. So hope you do that Monday at 6.
Well, we are out of time. Thanks, folks, for being here. Thank you, men, for joining us this morning. And remember to join us for church tomorrow by going to www.scriptures4america.org. Good day, folks.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns in the Greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die.